I'm Mahendra Gupte. You're looking at Chapter 11, Decision on Make or Buy. The make or buy decision, choice between in-house production or external sourcing, strategic business decision based on cost, competence, and control, impacts long-term competitiveness. when there is a company forced to take a make or buy decision? Let's take, to understand this better, let's take a very small example. You want some furniture made at home. Now you want a dining table to be made at home or to be purchased directly. Now this is a decision that you would want to take, just as an example to understand what goes into the thinking of a make or buy decision for a big company. Now the options, what are the options in this example you have? One is you will have to forego a time period of about 15 days, 20 days, about a month till the time the work is happening at home, which means that there will have to be somebody present in the house for the entire time period that the carpenters and his team is working in the house, first. Second is the dust and the inconvenience that would be caused for the people who are residing in the house. Every day the team would clean up after they finished, but when they are working, there's going to be no cleanup in between. And those dust particles, the sawdust that will be used, that would be getting generated, will have to be borne by the residents in the house. The third, there would be certain restrictions, certain finish, certain quality related issues that would have to be compromised depending on the skill set of the carpenter and his team and his line of thinking of what a quality product is. Now vis-a-vis, what are the options that you have? You have options from different brands to go select a table and just get it delivered, which would be assembled in the next 1 hour or half an hour by the team that comes and delivers, or a different team that comes the next day to assemble the product at your place and place it as required. Now what did we see here? What we are like trying to look at is what are the factors that are required to be considered whether you want to make or buy a product. Choice between in-house production or external sourcing. So it's a strategic business decision. As we understood, the strategy is whether you want to go through the pain of actual manufacture of the table in the house over the period of the next 15-20 days, or you would prefer to just source the product directly and get it delivered, assembled, and ready to use in maybe the next week's time. Based on cost, competence, and control, quality of the product or what you get manufactured will entirely depend on the competence of the carpentry team, the raw materials that they use, and what you demand from them. Whereas the product that you are trying to purchase is what most of the time what you see on a catalog is what gets delivered, with just a small give and take in terms of the photography and the shade of the actual color of the product. Impacts long-term competitiveness. When you start sourcing this for a business, that it becomes a long-term competitiveness. It can either give you competitive to be competitive or lose out on being competitive. How does that work? Let's say if you are going to procure, the cost of procurement is much higher, then that cost becomes more or less a fixed cost on the product, final product that you are trying to sell. So that could impact negatively. But if you get a product which is extremely, extremely competitively priced at the time of sourcing itself, then you are much more competitive with respect to your competitors when you are selling your final product. Criteria for outsourcing. As we understood in the example that we took of making the dining table at home, is it the company's core competence to manufacture that product? Are there any capacity constraints to manufacture it? Are there availability of suppliers to give you a finished product that you are trying to manufacture? What are the quality and control requirements? Is this criteria of outsourcing going to be temporary or permanent? Let's say you just started your own business and you are looking at what should I source, what should I make in-house. The main product that you want, the USP or the unique selling point of your product, you will want to control, the design you would want to control so that nobody else copies it and you are not left high and dry. So as a result, you will have to develop certain core competence. Now, once you have developed certain core competence, you are getting into expansion of your product range. Now, when you are getting into expansion of the product range, you continue with the same process, the same strategy that you did, that you followed, or rather you conceived when you started your business. That is, you will manufacture all the core design related issues in-house and get all the other materials sourced from outside. Here, now when you have increasing your range, there could be capacity constraints. You may require certain additional machines, and machines, if ordered today, do not drop in the next day. They come over a period of time. That is where temporary or permanent outsourcing comes in. You may want to outsource certain extra products on a temporary basis, and or the temporary basis could be time period or number of pieces, whatever works. And you could get that, discontinue that outsourcing because you start manufacturing it in-house. Now, when you have decided that you want certain things from outside, what is more important is the availability of suppliers. Are there suppliers to give you the products that you want, the quality of products that you want? Yes, that should be your answer. For example, no carpenter, even if you are going to make the table in-house, is going to start manufacturing screws and bolts. They are going to be sourced. Hardware is going to be sourced from outside. Now, the reason is that it is the hardware manufacturer's core competence, and you have a ready quality product available in the market, that is availability of suppliers. Quality and control requirements. Is the quality of the final product much better than you expected, or at par as you expected, or at much low a quality than you wanted? This will entirely depend on whether it is your core competence. When I'm saying it is core competence, do you have the machinery? Do you have the design engineers? Do you have the engineering backup infrastructure available to manufacture the product in-house? Or you would want to use these facilities, this infrastructure from a supplier whose core competence it is to manufacture the product that you are trying to look for? To give you an example to make this point clear, whenever Japanese car manufacturers design a new engines, they do not start the design of a spark plug. The spark plug is either taken from NGK Spark Plugs, which is the world's biggest spark plug manufacturer, and it is their core competence to manufacture spark plugs that could last you for 100,000 kilometers or 2 years, whichever comes first. So this is where quality and control requirements are taken care of. What do you understand by core competence? Let's get into a little more detail. Focus on strategic activities, outsource non-core operations, retain control over critical processes, improve efficiency and specialization. So when we talk of core competence, what are we trying to look at? We need to focus on strategic activities. Let's say you want to manufacture tomorrow, just for an example, a vacuum cleaner. Now, when you are looking at a vacuum cleaner, the body of the vacuum cleaner need not be a very important factor for you, because you can get a lot many suppliers to give you the required design. But what is more important is manufacture of the motor, which does the suction of the vacuum cleaner, so that effectiveness of what you are trying to claim is still under your control. So you outsource the non-core operations. That means the body of the look of the product. Of course, you design it, but you can get it made from outside. The reason being that design can change at a later point of time. But what is more important is the core motor, which should be retained by you for manufacturing. retain control over critical processes. Critical processes here would mean not only the manufacturing of the motor, but the design aspects as well. Improve efficiency and specialization. Try and become better and better in terms of volume, because today when you start business and your business picks up, that means there is a demand that gets created because of the reputation and the quality of your product. You will need to upscale. Now, when you need to upscale, you must have proper specialization and efficiency in your processes so that you are able to cope up with the additional requirement. Outsourcing decisions, they should give you some kind of cost savings, that is for sure, because then it makes sense to outsource from the supplier. Access to specialized skills. Many a times you will realize that certain products, when you want to outsource, require certain machines, certain skills of workers, certain upgrades to the technology that are available with you with respect to the supplier. So you would get access to such specialized skills directly. Operational efficiency, your supplier also needs to be operationally efficient. The reason being, when you are looking at scaling up, you should be able to demand that increased volume and he should be able to give it to you. Without operational efficiency, he is going to struggle, and so is going to be your business. Scalability and flexibility, this is what we were just discussing. So they are both interrelated. If the supplier is not operationally efficient, you are not going to be able to scale up, and flexibility in terms of getting different models or different products out from the same capacity of the supplier. Competitive advantage. The outsourcing decision should definitely give you a competitive advantage in terms of volume, scalability, operational efficiency, and cost savings. What is the outsourcing decision matrix? You got to look at all these aspects being positive for you in terms of cost advantage. The outsourcing must be giving you a cost advantage. You must get expertise availability when you are outsourcing. That means you are going to source from a company which knows their business, which knows their competence, and are able to give you the expertise that is available with them. Focus on core business. You are going to focus on your core business so that you get these materials which support your core business from your outsourced suppliers. Control and quality. You are able to control the quality of the products that are coming in. You are able to control the processes from your suppliers. If they are big companies, then you need not worry on this account at all, because they have a reputation to look after, rather than you need to tell them what needs to be done. Scalability and risk management. These are factors which you need to understand, discuss with your outsourcing supplier, that this, what is at stake and what is it that needs to be done. Reasons and need for outsourcing. When would you need to look at outsourcing? Reduce operational costs, improve business focus, gain competitive edge, access technology and expertise, reduce liabilities. Many times we look at outsourcing to reduce our operational costs, because you realize that you are paying much higher costs to your staff rather than purchasing the product ready from the market. The reason is, people whose core competence it is to just produce that small component, they have found ways and means, they've found machinery, they've found technology that produces that same component at a much lower cost than you are in-house. Improve business focus. There could be a need for you to focus on core competence because of the volumes that you are generating or the kind of demand that is being generated for your product. So you would want to reduce the business focus to being much more on specific products, specific areas, specific components of the final product that you are manufacturing. You want to gain competitive advantage over your competition. As a result, you offload because of cost savings, or offload is another way of saying outsource for competitive advantage. Access technology and expertise. if you have to continue upgrading your entire factory's technology and all your components and all the technology required for manufacturing each and every component, whether it is a focused item or no, you would be spending way too much, thus becoming incompetitive in the market. As a result, if you outsource to people whose core competence, as I said earlier, is to manufacture that small component, you will get access to technology and expertise from them. You can demand better quality, you can demand better quantity from them, and you will still get it. And last but not the least, it reduces liabilities if you have outsourced the product from your factory. The reason being, it is not a very high value item, it is not very extremely important, and you are still able to get good quality as you require for your product. What are the outsourcing decision factors? Cost savings and pricing, resources and technology, ability to meet deadlines, minimal supervision, trustworthiness and communication, service level agreements. So one is the cost. The first number one reason or the decision outsourcing decision factor is cost savings and pricing. Resources and technology. Your supplier has the resources and the technology, and this is an extremely important part to be considered before you take a decision, because you don't want your supplier then calling the shots and deciding your volume of output. Ability to meet deadlines. He should be able to meet deadlines as you require, because only on that basis will you commit to your customer delivery periods. And once you have committed, you cannot go back to the customer saying that my supplier did not deliver material. This production that is happening at your outsourced supplier should not require supervision from your side. Yes, you may provide that supervision in the initial stages till the time things become a process and you get everything stabilized so that you know exactly what kind of quality you are going to get. Once that is done, you don't need any supervision. That should be the kind of supplier you are looking for. Along with minimal supervision comes trustworthiness and communication. Trustworthiness here is where there are no shortcuts that are being followed, no short circuits to be done just because they want to deliver higher volume. They've got to follow the process, trust the process, and ensure that the output is as required. Communication, if something goes wrong, which it may during a supply and buyer position, even if it is a transporter, or it's a strike that is expected by the transport or some rasta roko that happens in our country, you need to have that communication from your supplier, ensuring that you are able to protect your production at your factory by maybe extra supplies over the next 2 days impending the rasta roko on the third or the fourth day. Service level agreement. In fact, this becomes a document that is guided, but then we have always believed, or rather in my experience I have believed, it is the intent on both the parties that matters much more than an actual agreement that is signed on paper. Because if you have the intention not to cheat, you will not cheat irrespective of a paper. And if your intention is to cheat, you will cheat irrespective of a paper. Costs of outsourcing. There are direct costs, indirect costs, hidden costs, logistics and quality costs, risks and compliance costs. Direct costs that are to be paid for the material, which can be directly understood and calculated right at the beginning. Indirect costs are those which are used for transportation, for the fixtures that are required in transportation, damages in transportation, etc. Hidden costs would cover part of this, the indirect cost, that is the damage costs that happen during the transit, the quality related issues that come up for the deliveries of the material. So these could be quality hidden costs. At the same time, there are certain costs that are required because the transporter is not behaving correctly. He has overloaded a vehicle, he has combined other cargo with your cargo, and then there is damage to your cargo. These would all be hidden costs. Logistics and quality costs. Logistics cost is the actual cost of transportation, paid to the transporter for moving your products from point A to point B, along with ensuring that the quality is not compromised during that transportation as well as at manufacturing or at the supplier. Risk and compliance costs. You are complying to everything, but your transporter has not complied to the requirements of his vehicle. As a result, the vehicle is stopped and there is a delay in delivery. The supplier, on the other hand, has not complied with renewing his license of production of his factory or some pollution related issue. As a result, your supplies are going to be affected and in turn your production. So these, whether they are, you call them costs of outsourcing or the risks and compliance costs, these need to be understood and monitored on a regular basis so that you are not caught unawares of a situation. What are the different types of outsourcing costs? Direct, we understood. Unit price, labor, materials. Indirect, audits, admin, travel. Hidden, delays, rework, IP risks, etc. Outsourcing pricing models, fixed price, cost plus pricing, time and materials, unit pricing, and dynamic pricing. Fixed pricing is where you decide the price of the product based on the raw material, the time required, and the machine hour rate that is required. So you cover labor, raw material, labor, and the machine costs or the overhead costs. Cost plus pricing is where you look at all those costs and then decide, mutually decide a certain margin that is to be given to the supplier so that it becomes cost plus pricing. Time and materials. Many a times, you hire the services of a supplier, but you provide him the material and you are rather only hiring out or paying him for the time that he spends on manufacturing your product for you. So these are usually done on temporary outsourcing basis where raw materials are given by you and he is only paid for the time that he utilizes or the time that you utilize his setup, his infrastructure for your production. There could be another situation where you would avail of this facility or this kind of model, and that is when you want to control the material input that is going into manufacturing that product. If that material is of a sensitive nature, of a specific nature, you know that market does not have this raw material directly available, you may want to provide that material to your supplier to make the component for you. Unit pricing, it could be either based on a single piece unit or on a lot or whatever you decide mutually. Dynamic pricing is where you have most of the pricing that we discussed earlier has a dynamic part to it, because if raw material prices go up, if tomorrow fuel prices go up, transportation costs would go up and so would your pricing. So there, each of these pricing will be dynamic based on market conditions. Outsourcing cost factors, product complexity, as complex and may important the product to you is what will decide the price that goes into it, the cost that goes into it. Partner location, where is the partner located? Where is your outsource supplier located? Is he in a free zone? Is he in a factory or in an MIDC or industrial development corporation area, or is he overseas where labor cost, material cost, manufacturing cost, everything else is much lower, but you would have to incur the import and the freight costs for importing. Order size, most of the time a supplier would want higher batches because they do not have process improvements working on a regular basis at their end. So once they have set your machine, set the toolings for producing your component, they would try and maximize the entire batch or the total month's requirement that you want. Maybe some cases it would be a 3 months requirement. They would manufacture it and hold it at their end, but then that order size is what will determine pricing. the technology used, whether companies are using new technology or they are using old technology, old machinery, this will also decide the outsourcing costs. What are the kind of quality control measures that they have in place? Let us realize, unless it's a very good organized supplier, quality control is going to be on 100% inspection. That too, if we are lucky. Else, it is on sampling, and that sampling is done only once a month or maybe lower. What are the contract terms with the supplier? If you have said that you want an inspection certificate or a quality control certificate with every lot, your contract terms need to specify that, along with a compensation for doing that activity, as well as adding to the outsourcing cost in terms of quality control. Estimating outsourcing costs, define project scope, compare in-house versus outsourced costs, collect detailed vendor quotes, include risk and long-term costs. So when you are trying to estimate what are going to be the outsourcing costs, you have got to first define what all you need. Whether you are outsourcing on temporary basis, are you outsourcing on permanent basis, are you going to offer toolings to the supplier, or is he expected to make the toolings himself? Now, if he is supposed to develop the toolings, let us realize the time period for him to give you a finished product is going to be much longer than when you have toolings available with you and you outsource and you offer the toolings to him. Most companies do this via media option, that is, offer the toolings for a fixed period of time or a fixed number of pieces that the supplier manufactures using the in-house toolings of the company, after which the toolings will return back in an as-is-where-is condition, and the supplier then starts his supply after that set period of time or number of pieces with his own toolings. This is where you need to define the project scope and what is going to be the time period for which this supply is going to continue. Compare in-house versus outsourced costs. When you are trying to outsource something, you definitely understand and know what is it going to cost you in-house, because that is the basis for you to look at an outsourcing decision. Collect detailed vendor quotes. You would still want to go around and get vendors to give you quotes for your outsourced requirement, and that is something that you can compare with your in-house costs as well as costs between two suppliers. Include risk and long-term costs. Is the kind of raw material that you use averse to risk, or is it going to be affected by certain policies of the government or of the MIDC, JIDC, or the location that the person is working in? So you got to look at what are the risks there, what are the long-term costs, what are the costs of development required, are you going to demand suddenly much higher quality than your supplier can ever give you? You're going along with him because he shows interest, then you need to look at what are going to be those long-term costs of working with a customer whom you are developing along with your products. Sources and requirements. Identify core versus non-core functions. Select experienced outsourcing partners. Establish clear communication. Use technology effectively. Focus on training and development. Identify core versus non-core functions. This becomes the starting point of deciding whether you are going to outsource the entire product, entire component that gets into your product, or you would want it to be semi-finished, and then you would do the final finishing, because that is your core requirement and that is important for you to control, because that fits into your assembly. Select experienced outsourcing partners irrespective of the level of quality that you require. The reason being that experienced outsourcing partners are used to a certain culture of the corporate and are able to align themselves as well as their entire workforce. Establish clear communication. There has to be clear communication between you and your supplier at all times. In fact, following certain Japanese practices here would help, where if you have are able to establish Kanban, you need not have a regular email process or a calling up process to follow. The Kanban speaks for itself and communicates very clearly. Use technology effectively, whether you are using emails, whether you are using a software, and you give your supplier access to that software so that he every day at a certain fixed time, he sees whatever is his requirement, his component requirement on daily basis, so that he knows how much does he dispatch for the next day. Focus on training and development. There would be a new technology that you and your supplier both understand is necessary. Now, the supplier is ready to invest in that, but then you may require somebody from your side or support him with training and development so that that technology can be used effectively for your supplies. Outsourcing services. Production and assembly. Under manufacturing, it would be production and assembly, quality control, logistics and supply chain management, data entry services, customer service and support. So you could actually look at production and assembly of components which are outsourced. Many companies have warehouses which house assembly areas. Components from different suppliers are received there. They are assembled, and that sub-assembly is then delivered to the line so that it fits into the actual main product which is being manufactured by the OEM or by the factory there. Quality control. Such warehouses or such setups take care of quality control, and or they could be also offloaded to third parties, where third party people will depute somebody at your factory or at your premises to take care of quality control. Now, these third parties are usually those companies who have got in-house labs to test material and have got the expertise and the technology as well as the equipment to support you in quality control activities. Logistics and supply chain management. You have 3PL, 4PL people who take care of entire warehouse management, deliveries, sourcing, collection of material from suppliers, etc. That is where logistics and supply chain management is possible. Data entry services. You have a lot of data that gets generated manually on the basis of your daily production units, production shifts. You can use data entry services, outsource the data entry to a data entry company, which ensures that data gets entered there and gets delivered to you. Or you could have them depute two or three people at your premises to do the data entry on a daily basis. Customer service and support. This is where the BPO process started in India, where most of the credit card companies and banks offloaded their customer service and support to India. Where, let's say, for example, somebody in Europe had a query on his credit card. If he dialed the helpline, that helpline would finally get through all their networks and land in India, Bangalore or Hyderabad or Mumbai, where some teenager would be talking to that person and resolving his issues in the required language that he preferred. Technology in outsourcing. What is the role that technology plays? Advanced production systems. Are you looking at companies who are going to be your suppliers with advanced production systems, or who require certain expertise, certain core competence in terms of technology, because that is how complex your product is? Would they need data analytics, or would you need data analytics to understand what needs to be done, what needs to be improved, and get it then transferred to a change or some process improvements at your suppliers or in-house? Automation and robotics. When volumes go up, automation and robotics is the only answer, because this is where you don't need humans to actually monitor production and you can still be assured of quality outputs. Cloud and collaboration tools is where you are using software or technology available through the cloud on a SaaS basis, that is software as a service basis, which then you are paying a much smaller amount for the required technology, but availing it at your supplier or in-house. To summarize, make or buy is a strategic decision. Outsourcing offers cost and skill advantages. Costs must be evaluated holistically, and right partner selection is critical. So make or buy is a strategic decision, something that needs to be taken even before, as an entrepreneur, you decide to go into manufacturing. This decision is strategic because this is going to determine what is going to be your core competence, what is going to be your focus area, and what is it that you are going to get from outside, or what is it that you are going to outsource. Outsourcing offers cost and skill advantages. You need not have the high-skilled people for small components which are of very small value and which can be outsourced from day one. Costs must be evaluated holistically. You've got to understand what are the total costs involved in outsourcing so that you are very clear on what is it going to be when you get the component or the product into your factory. Right partner selection is critical. You need to understand that the partner has, your partner has to be a real partner in progress. The reason being, his output or his delivery is going to determine your volume of production. Now you can always say that, why not I hold inventory and still get material in small bits and pieces from my supplier? Well, there is a cost involved to doing everything, and this is where you are going to then pay a much higher cost of inventory. So what is the best option? The best option is having the right partner who looks at progress of himself as he sees you progressing in business. Thank you.